We present Kenneth Williams, Clement Freud, Peter Jones, and Juno Alexander in just a minute. And as the minute waltz fades away, here to tell you about it is our chairman, Nicholas Parsons.
Much indeed, and welcome once again to Just a Minute. And we welcome our four contestants back again. And once again, I'm going to ask them all to speak on some unlikely subject without hesitation, without repetition, and without deviating from the subject on the card which is in front of me. And once again, according to how well they do this and how often they're challenged, they will gain points or their opponents will gain points. And let us begin the show this week with Juno Alexander. Juno, the subject this week for you is hats. Can you talk to us for 60 seconds on hats, starting now?
These are probably the most useful of all apparel, as they can keep the ears warm, prevent the hair from getting tied together when travelling in an open car. They also prevent the water from trickling down the back of the neck, can save the head from being bashed when falling off horses or motor bicycles. Cowboys can use them for fetching water. I have used one once to put shopping in. They can be made of wool, cardboard, silk, feathers, flowers, hats. Could be made of any material.
Kenneth Williams has challenged you.
Well, two can be maids.
Yes, you have a repetition of maid.
A can be maids.
Yes. Oh, dear. So, Kenneth Williams, I agree with you. That was a correct challenge for repetition. So you take over the subject of hats, you gain a point for a correct challenge, and you have 24 seconds starting now.
Well, the smartest couturier I knew once said to this lady, have these knits, and she said, but I want a hat. He said, well, they will fly around you and in such close formation that they will create the most beautiful toque you've ever seen. Oh, she said, but they're not very clean, are they, knits? And he said, no.
Clement Freud has challenged you first.
The double knit.
Oh. Yes. You knitted your knits. Clement Freud, you have a point for a correct challenge, and you have 7 seconds for hats, starting now.
With a crochet hook and a pound of wool, here's Charlie, your host, and I forget what he says after that.
The whistle, which is blown for us, as always, by Ian Messiter, the creator of the game, tells us that 60 seconds is up, and whoever is speaking at that moment gains the extra point. On this occasion, it was, once again, Clement Freud, and he has a lead at the end of that round. Kenneth Williams, will you begin this round? Cornucopia. Kenneth, can you talk to us on cornucopia for 60 seconds, starting now?
Well, as far as I know, it's some sort of urn into which they stuff plenty of everything. You know, your grapes, your bananas, and your apples, and your oranges, your
peas. Juno Alexander's challenged you. Why?
Well, I thought there were an awful lot of yours, but then I suppose that's not it, is it?
Well, we don't really challenge.
No,
I know you're
don't.
New to the game. No. You haven't played it as often as our three regular men, but we don't on such little words.
I will add much. 1 point to his cornucopia.
Yes, other words, if we did, you know you challenge on every thee and it and but,
right.
And we would never get playing the game,
no.
Would we? So, Kenneth, an incorrect challenge, so you gain a point for that, and you have 52 seconds for cornucopia starting now.
Well, the simile, of course, lies with Ceres, and indeed Shakespeare likens it to cornucopia. When he says, why droops my lord, I over up and corn bowing the head at Ceres plenteous load. And that, of course, is
Clement Freud has challenged you. Why?
Repetition of plenty.
All yes,
I didn't. I said plenteous. You great fool. Why don't you listen? Because he doesn't listen. First time it was plenty, and second time it was plenteous load.
But I don't know what you said. I thought you said two plenties.
No, you're wrong, so I didn't.
Well, all right. We'll tape your word, because you did go very fast, which is unusual for you. So you get a point, Kenneth, for an incorrect challenge, and you have 41 seconds for cornucopia starting now.
Well, the Wangles in the early morn, the Wangles lay in the Milo, and they're very quick to the ancient British sparks, but that's a usually stuffy either.
Clement Freud has challenged you again.
Repetition.
Of what? Rubbish?
All the
yes.
things I couldn't
A repetition of what he said just before. Of what he said before, was it, Clement?
Yeah.
Definitely,
yes.
All right. You get a point and you have 35 seconds for cornucopia, Clement, starting now.
This is, in fact, a horn of plenty, as Kenneth Williams mentioned. Although he...
Kenneth Williams, why...
Well, if I've already mentioned it, he's repeating it!
Kenneth, in this game, he has repeated what you said...
Exactly, you're not allowed to repeat in this game! So shut it up!
You won? Yes. You hardly got through at the end of the first round. I'd have forgotten what the challenge was now. Yes, repetition. Now, he only repeated what you'd said, and in this game, it's only repetition if you repeat what you said yourself. So, Clement Freud did not repeat himself, so that sounds funny, doesn't it? He has 31 seconds, having gained a point for an incorrect challenge, to continue with Cornucopia starting now.
It would be indescribably boring to detail that you dug in and pulled out your apples, your oranges, your bananas and your pineapple.
Kenneth Williams, a challenge.
This is deviation, the digging in and pulling out pineapples. I mean, it's all so devious. I've never heard such rubbish.
It has nothing
to do with the cornucopia.
No, I don't think digging in and bringing out your apples and pineapples and pears and... I don't think that's really got to do with cornucopia. No, I give you the point on this occasion, Kenneth, and tell you that you have 22 seconds for cornucopia starting now.
Well, as the poet said, we stand upon this distant shore with cornucopia. Cornucopian dreams of yore, and nourishment and false supreme shall always give us this long dream, which all sustaining to... Who's challenged?
Peter Jones. Peter Jones is challenged. Why?
Well, it was a deviation.
Why?
Nothing to do with the cornucopia.
He said, he established that the poet has said on this cornucopian shore, is that right?
No, the cornucopian dream.
The cornucopian dream, and so he was
obviously not familiar with it.
Well, a dream of a cornucopia isn't a cornucopia.
All right. What I will then let the audience be the final judge, because this is one of those difficult decisions.
You'll have to wake him up first.
He's dropped off.
They're coming up quite nicely. The fellow was asleep's
no,
come true, didn't it?
Your people repeating everything.
No, I think the audience should be the final judge on this rather difficult decision of
how much
deviation.
Longer is there of this one subject?
We only got 5 seconds left. That's why I thought you came in.
I see. Yes,
you did
course,
that to get
yes.
the audience on your side, did you?
Well, I wanted them to know the situation.
You know the tenseness of the situation. And Peter Jones also wants you to know that he hasn't yet spoken and he hasn't yet scored. But be
and
fair,
and I've got a
please.
Wife and 3 children to support.
So, in spite of his wife and 3 children, will you please be fair? And if you agree with his challenge, will you cheer? And if you disagree, will you boo? And will you all do it together now? I think the cheers just had it, yes. So the boos are all saying, ugh. So, Peter Jones, you have a point for a correct challenge. You have 6 seconds on Cornucopia starting now.
It's a grocer's shop in Dijon, in the heart of the mustard area. And I have been there.
Is that a bit of fantasy or is it true, Peter?
No, it's somewhere in France. I can't remember whether it's exactly in Dijon, but it's somewhere.
But you've seen a grocery shop called Cornucopia.
Yes, a little supermarket.
Because it's full of good things, isn't it?
Anyway, Peter, you have now 2 points.
That's the idea, is it? Yeah.
And you're creeping up on Clement Freud and Kenneth Williams, who are both equal in the lead at the end of that round. Peter Jones, we would like you to begin the next round. And the subject, rather aptly, I think, is my favourite subject. Will you talk about that, my favourite subject, for 60 seconds, starting now?
My favourite subject would give opportunities to Kenneth Williams to quote at length from the poets and to give us an intellectual treat, picnic even, if we were allowed to listen to it long enough, and would also furnish Clement Freud with a chance of interpolating witticisms, jokes and amusing remarks, and would have also built into it the opportunity for me to actually score at the very last second of the 60 seconds. It would also be entertaining, would not involve any repetition on the part of any of the people participating in this witty game so brilliantly chaired by Nicholas Parsons, whom I have admired for so long. And it would have an opportunity for the lady guest.
Clement Freud is challenged.
Repetition of opportunity.
Yes, there were too many opportunities.
Well, yes.
Correct challenge for repetition of opportunity. There are 9 seconds left for you, Clement Freud, on my favourite subject starting now.
My favourite subject is cornucopia. I would...
Juno Alexander's challenged.
It must be a deviation because his favourite subject and everybody's is Clement Freud.
I quite agree. I'm sure that that is a very unkind cut at Clement Freud, but the audience clapped, and so for a bad joke, we will give you a point, Juno, and say you have 5 seconds on my favourite subject starting now.
My favourite subject is me. I am 46 years old, rather stupid, but very...
Peter Jones. Peter Jones, challenge actually before the buzzer. What, yes, before the whistle, what was
I
it?
I felt it was deviation because what? She's obviously not as old as that.
Yes.
And as she's might... already admitted that she was, she gets an extra point for a wrong challenge. So, and she has half a second for my favourite subject, Juno, starting now.
I am...
So,
I wouldn't have minded him winning it for being so gallant.
Yeah, so being so gallant, he puts him in fourth place behind you now, who are in third place behind Kenneth Williams, who's in second place behind Clement Freud. Clement, your turn to begin. And the subject, pie. What a delightful subject to talk about. Will you go on that for 60 seconds, starting now?
When I first came across this word, it was in an arithmetic class at school, and I was told that pi equaled 22 over 7. As I advanced along my path of education, it was explained that pi equals 3.142. And later still, when I started the culinary arts, somebody mentioned that butter, sugar, and flour with a modicum of mixture like... I meant moisture.
Kenneth Williams has challenged one.
Thank you very much.
Kenneth, you have a correct challenge and a hesitation for a hesitation, and you take over the subject of pie, and there are 33 seconds left, starting now.
With the intention of having a blackberry one, I was picking these things in a hedgerow when a bloke said they're sprayed with insecticide, and if you eat them, you die. I said, oh, no, I dropped the lot. And I went over and never had none of this, but we bought instead a manufactured pie in a shop. Now, this was covered in wax and had on the outside... glucomates are added. I phoned them up. I said, here, what are these? I've never heard of them. They said, it's chemicals. I said, yes, all right. Don't blind me with that.
You made your point so well. None of us want to buy any of those pies. We all want to have our homemade pies. And Kenneth, you have leapt into the lead alongside Clement Croyce. Juno Alexander, we are with you now. Would you start this... it's your turn to start, I should say. And the subject is driving a bargain. Would you talk to us about that for 60 seconds, starting now?
I do this daily. It is a bargain because my husband bought it for me. And when driving it, I recapture my youth because I keep the hood down, and as long as I wear dark glasses, scarf over my head, and keep my skirts short, I have a very merry time. Its clutch has burned out recently, but as long as you keep it filled with petrol and oil and the tires nicely plumped up, it will carry you through England, Scotland, Wales, France, Belgium, Holland...
Clement Freud has challenged. Why?
Deviation.
Why?
It's not amphibious.
But she never said that she crossed the water on it.
No.
She just said it would carry you through those different countries. And she never said that she crossed...
Right.
Just a minute, June, I'm
sorry,
on your side,
darling,
my love.
No.
She never said that she crossed the channel to get to France. She just said it would carry across France. She's making a statement of fact. So it was an incorrect challenge, and she has another point, and there are 26 seconds left for Juno on driving a bargain, starting now.
Doing this has altered my entire life, having made me rather aggressive... But also it is...
Peter Jones has challenged. Why?
I don't think she's aggressive, and so it's a deviation.
When she plays Just a Minute, she's very aggressive.
Do you think so?
Yes.
Well, I
have
think so.
To be,
I didn't think she was aggressive. I thought she was, not aggressive, really, at all.
Well, I think she is aggressive, plays Just a Minute. In fact,
right.
As Juno says, you have to be in this game, so it's an incorrect challenge.
I think you're a good deal more aggressive than you were when I started.
You're a good deal better at the game than when you started. And I have to say here, what sounds slightly unchivalrous to Juno, yes, you are aggressive, because it means she gets a point for an incorrect challenge and keeps the subject with 18 seconds left, starting now.
I take ladies in the car with me who are extremely brave in view of the way in which I conduct this vehicle on occasion, especially if I have not seen to its interior...
And Kenneth Williams got in first.
Hesitation.
Yes, she teetered so close to it, and eventually she got the hesitation, but you got in first, and there are only 2 seconds left, Kenneth, for you on driving a bargain, starting now.
I do it in the Arab countries. I always say, half of what you say is what I'm getting.
Once again, Kenneth Williams got 2 quick points. One for getting in before the whistle and one for speaking when the whistle went. So he's now taken the lead at the end of that round. And Kenneth Williams, it's your turn to begin. The subject, Benito Mussolini.
Oh, win.
So your reaction was delightful, but will you talk about him for 60 seconds starting now?
Well, in a political vacuum, such as we witnessed in Europe with the collapse of the Weimar Republic and these little centres of liberality, there did come into the picture these national socialists, and the form it took in Germany was Nazism, and the form in Italy, of course.
Clement Freud challenged. Why?
Repetition.
Of what?
Form.
Yes, there were two forms, you see. Oh. Yes, the form in Germany, and you're going to give us the form in Italy, which was... Benito Mussolini's form. There are 45 seconds left for you, Clement Freud, to continue on Benito Mussolini starting now.
It took in Italy was fascism in the person of Benito Mussolini. And the extraordinary thing about this was that during the war, there were 40 million Italian...
Kenneth Williams got in first.
Hesitation.
Yes, there was. He didn't want to speak fascist again, and he couldn't think of another word to replace it with, which he often manages to achieve. 33 seconds on Benito Mussolini now with you, Kenneth, starting now.
In the Foreign Office correspondence, there is the copy of the letter sent by Neville Chamberlain to this gentleman, and it does begin, "Mio caro Benito," and it states that he has been offered the Order of the Bath, and he actually accepted it. Now, I know it may seem very odd that a fascist dictator out there in Rome should be getting this high order from England. After all, it's a sovereign...
Clement Freud challenge, why?
Repetition of order.
Yes, he had the order more than once.
Well, they're more interested in this than they are.
You're absolutely right, Kenneth. They definitely are. We all are, but we still are primarily here to play just a minute.
Kenny could talk and I could challenge.
Yes, so... all right, I'm going on. Clement has a point for a correct challenge and he continues on Benito Mussolini for 8 seconds, starting now.
He was a small, plump man, immensely vain. He shaved twice a day and had a study which was 38 feet long.
Well, Benito Mussolini brought points to both Kenneth Williams and Clement Freud in that round, but Clement Freud was speaking when the whistle went, so he now has gone into the lead alongside Kenneth Williams. Clement Freud, your turn to begin. The subject, olives. Can you talk to us about olives for 60 seconds, starting now?
When Popeye, the cartoon character, had a lot of spinach and a surplus amount of energy, his creators, having no idea what else to do, invented for him a wife called Olive, and all that was hers became olives. It's also a vegetable grown particularly in the hot countries and comes either black or green and produces olive oil.
Peter Jones, a challenge, why?
It's not a vegetable.
Oh, no, it's a fruit, isn't it? From a tree. Yes,
it's
it must be.
It's from a tree, yes. I don't think it's a vegetable.
No, I've always understood it to be a fruit. We'll probably get letters telling me whether I'm right or wrong. Mm. Peter Jones gets olives as a fruit and 32 seconds left starting now.
Olives are rounded, dark...
Kenneth Williams' challenge, why?
Well, because this is a lot of rubbish, I mean. They're obviously not rounded. I mean, it's... You know, anyway, anyone's got to look at an olive and they know they're not rounded. I mean, you see, it's just
they're
so rubbishy,
square.
Isn't it?
They're not angular, are they?
No,
are
but you see,
angular?
They have the same shape as an egg and you don't say that's rounded, you say it's egg-shaped. I mean, its shape is unique to itself.
So it's olive-shaped.
I didn't want to say olives are olive-shaped. Because that's boring. If you're talking about eggs, you're entitled to say eggs are egg-shaped, but I think that's a boring remark. Boring, boring, boring!
Kenneth! I think that, Peter, I made a very good point. If you have eggs, you talk about them being egg-shaped. Olives are not round. He didn't say they were round. He said they were rounded, and their surfaces are rounded. Therefore, I think it's an incorrect challenge, and Peter has 27 seconds to continue with olives starting now.
And can be squeezed. And you can get olive oil from them, which, mixed with egg yolk, can make mayonnaise. You have to drip it very slowly in...
Clement Freud has challenged. Why?
Deviation.
Why?
You don't have to drip it, basically. It's an awful myth. It really
you
is.
You don't have to drip it, no.
He
I mean,
said
this
you have
is
to
the point.
It.
I mean, there are many ways of
I
doing it.
I didn't say you had to. I didn't say you had to make mayonnaise.
You did say to make
but
mayonnaise.
But if you do make it, one way
no,
of doing
you know,
it
you
is
didn't.
By dripping it.
No, we've got to the stage. Everybody's getting very tense about accurate...
I'm not tense. I'm as relaxed as I've ever been in my life.
So, in this state of tension, I've got to be very accurate in my decisions, and you did say that in making mayonnaise, you have to drip it. And on that basis, Clement challenged you, so I must uphold his challenge as being correct and give him a point and 15 seconds to continue with olives, starting now.
In the Mediterranean countries, it would be virtually impossible to cook without olives, because they, or the oil made from them, make their appearance in virtually every dish that you get.
Peter Jones has challenged.
He said virtually twice. Repetition.
Yes, he did.
Two. I mean, two people are awake.
All right, virtually was said twice, so Peter, you have a correct challenge of point and 5 seconds for olives starting now.
In the Mediterranean countries, it would be virtually impossible to cook without the use of olive oil.
I think Peter virtually made his point then about cooking with olive oil, and he gained some points and also won for speaking when the whistle went. He has now moved forward considerably. Fat heads! That is the subject on the card in front of me. And it's Juno Alexander's turn to begin, and will you talk to us about fat heads, Juno, for 60 seconds starting now.
These can be very delicious if made out of calves or sheep or pigs. They are difficult to acquire and must be cooked with extreme care, as the fat...
Kenneth Williams has challenged. I think I would agree with that hesitation. Oh. Fatheads dried her up, I'm afraid, and Kenneth, you'll get a point for a correct challenge. I must tell you now, and tell the audience and the listeners, that this will be the last round because we have no more time, and this particular moment, Kenneth has now moved into the lead alongside Clement Freud. He has the subject of fatheads. He has 44 seconds, and he starts now.
I understand this is a slang word, and of course, first people who are imbecilic fools, and they say, oh, he's fathead, they know what he's talking about. And of course, some people might apply the term to me, because they do feel very often that I don't really know what I'm discussing. Now, that is untrue. Of course, I always do. I'm always coherent people.
Clement Freud has challenged. Why?
That's the third, of course. Repetition.
Yes, you did use, of course, rather a lot, and at this particular moment of the game... Kenneth has very generously given way on the subject of this small challenge and kissed Clement Freud to show there's no ill feeling at this moment. And so Clement has another point and 28 seconds for fatheads starting now.
One of my most embarrassing occasions was when I went to a dinner...
Kenneth Williams has challenged.
Deviation, we're not discussing his most embarrassing occasions.
But Kenneth, you can ill afford to challenge so rapidly because he might well say that one of his most embarrassing occasions was something to do with a fathead. And he didn't have a chance to establish that. So to be utterly fair, it's an incorrect challenge. He didn't get going, and he has 25 seconds on fatheads starting now.
And my hostess replied, that is my son. So I said, it suits him. This would have been a much funnier story had I not been interrupted by Kenneth Williams. Fatheads on the part of animals are usually served in a vinaigrette or sauce verte, which consists of oil and vinegar, coming from olives, lemon juice, sorrel, watercress, hard-boiled egg, chives. Oh.
So, Clement Freud's knowledge of food and his ability to keep going in just a minute under all opposition gained him not only an extra point, but that extra one for speaking when the whistle went. So let me give you the final score. Juno Alexander finished in fourth place, only 1 point behind Peter Jones, who was a little way behind Kenneth Williams, who was in second place, but he was definitely 3 points behind this week's winner, Clement Freud. We do hope you have enjoyed this edition of Just a Minute and enjoyed the game and, of course, the way that we play it. And from all of us here, goodbye.
chairman of Just a Minute was Nicholas Parsons. The program was devised by Ian Messiter and produced by Simon Brett.